Hi everyone, this is Pastor Bob. This is another edition of Pastor's News and Views. Today I'm going to do a devotional on Psalm 118. Psalm 118 is the psalm that contains the words Hosanna. We use this in our songs. We use this on Palm Sunday. It is appropriate to this time of the week. I think it's an excellent reflection as we consider the days that we are in. One of the features of the Psalms is that these are poetry, these are poems, they are songs, they were composed sometimes by people who were in need themselves. They had the benefit in that as they were published, people sang them, and it was a way that the people used to not only recall good times, they would also learn how to express themselves in times of difficulty. These are days that we face that require us to be diligent, vigilant, prayerful. We need to draw near to the Lord. We need to ask the Lord to draw near to us. Our children need to see our example. This world needs to see our example. So if you would give your attention, grab your Bible, pause this recording if you have to, grab your Bible and read along. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, but feel free to read along as best you can in whatever translation you have. Let me read through Psalm 118, then we'll go back and we'll make a few comments about it. Verse 1, Psalm 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress, I called upon the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them, and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. This is a wonderful psalm, a psalm that even to this day the Jewish people sing or read during their Feast of Booths. Feast of Booths is when they take branches and when they recall the sort of celebration where people come out of their houses and celebrate what God had done for them. And you may have recognized some of these verses that we sing. Some of these portions of this psalm are incorporated in other songs that we sing, and I'd like to bring your attention to verse 25, which says, "Save us, we pray, O Lord, we pray, give us success." Now, this is a unique expression. In fact, if I could sort of underline one word there for you, when it says, "Save us, O Lord," that is the expression Hosanna. In fact, in the Hebrew, it's Yehovah Yoshana, Yehovah. In other words, there's a call upon the Lord to save and to save now. It's followed by another three-word expression, Yehovah no tzalach, which I may not be pronouncing it properly, but it basically says, Lord, save now. Lord, now prosper. This is the expression of the people that the people had when they when Jesus came triumphantly into the city of Jerusalem. So on the one hand, there is the cry out to God to save, and there is it is followed by an expression, God, now prosper. Now, at this moment, cause us to prosper. It's a one-word expression. It takes us a sentence to say it. We have to say, Lord, give us success, or Lord, now prosper us. It's a little awkward in the English translation, but it's beautiful in its original context. Think about this. There are verses in the scripture that are just such declarations of praise. Let's start at the beginning. Let's look at this sort of build up, if you will. Psalm 18, verse 2, let Israel say, let the whole nation say, God's love or his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say. In other words, this is another category of persons within Israel. These are the priests. These are, if you remember in Peter said that we are a kingdom of priests. We are a royal priesthood, we who are believers. So in other words, there's a whole nation that needs to say that God's love endures forever, but then the holy people, the people who are called of God within that group of people, should say that the house of the Lord endures forever. And then finally, verse 4, let those who fear the Lord, like anyone who respects God, the biblical expression is the fear of the Lord, but you respect God, you acknowledge God, you fear the Lord. You may not be a priest, you may not be a holy person, but geez, you have this knowledge that God is. Let those who fear the Lord say that his love endures forever. There's something about saying what God is, what God does, who God is, that his love lasts. It endures forever. It's not fleeting. God still loves me, even in the middle of a trial like the trial we're going through. Verse 5 says, out of my distress, I called upon the Lord. He answered me and he set me free. Now, think about this. As David and as others were embattled, in wars and wars that were part of the defense of the nation, sometimes enemies come against you and you just feel embattled on all sides, and you ask yourself, what can I do? It's a real time of distress. Verse 5 says that God answered. Verse 6 says, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. Let me ask you a question. If you're listening to me, are you fearing right now? What can man do to me? You know, sometimes we fear things that are not as important as other things. We find that out afterwards. People are afraid to step out sometimes and do something good. They'd say, oh, if I only could take my, if I could only turn back the time, turn back the clocks, I would do this or I would do that. Why was I afraid to do this? Verse 7 says, the Lord is on my side. In fact, it says it several times. That's what the Bible does. It'll make a point, then it will repeat itself. The author will repeat it. Just like you do in a song, you'll repeat a chorus. The verses of scriptures repeat themselves. That's why I suggest to you, listen, while you're going through this trial, make a special devotion. Maybe spend a little bit more time in the Psalms and get to know these authors, get to know the heart of God, get to find out what they knew about God. God hasn't changed in all of that time. And I would suggest that you find out that God is on your side. Verse 7 says, the Lord is on my side. He is my helper. That's an interesting way to look. God, help me. You're not just here to set me free. You're here to help me. Verse 8 says, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. You know, I'm trusting the government to make good decisions. I'm trusting our fellow citizens, my brothers and sisters, my family to do the right thing. But if there's anyone that I need to place my trust in, it's in the Lord. Let's look at this progression in verses 10 through 13. All the nations surrounded me. All the nations surrounded me, and in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. This sounds like a soldier who has overcome, hasn't he? All the nations surrounded me. Verse 11, they surrounded me on every side, and in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. You know, Jesus asked us to pray in his name. So it's in the name of the Lord that we pray. It's in the name of the Lord that we overcome. It's in the name of the Lord that we make requests. Verse 12, they surrounded me like bees. Have you ever been attacked by a bee? Some people don't like one bee. Can you imagine several bees? David, I'm assuming David here, but the psalmist says that they surrounded me like bees. They went like a fire among the thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I like verse 13. It says, I was pushed hard. In another way of saying it, in the Hebrew, that is, the enemy pushed me hard. This virus that's going around and affecting us, it's pushing the nation hard. But it's not just Americans; it's all over the world. And some of the poorest nations finding it difficult to deal with the issues that are being surrounded. So here, God says, "The Lord help me." I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. Verse 14, you might recognize this verse. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. You know, one of the mistakes that Christians make that maybe other people of faith do is you just take one verse out of context and you forget that, you know, that one beautiful verse is actually set like a gemstone in a great setting. And so in the midst of this prayerful song, Psalm 118, where you're asking the Lord to step in, it says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He's become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. You know, that's a very specific reference. And that means that in your house should be filled with a song. Maybe it's a song in your heart. Maybe God sort of brings up a verse of scripture. Maybe some poetic lines sort of compose themselves in your mind. But the Lord is my strength and my song. Let's move on to verse 17. I shall not die, but live. One of the things that's hard to do when you're in the middle of a trial is to make this kind of what I call a faith proclamation or a sort of a prophetic pronouncement that say, it's not going to happen to me. I'm going to get through this. Maybe you're going through an illness. Maybe your family's facing some issues. Maybe you lost your job because of things. Maybe you're a businessman and you're having to apply for aid. You had to lay off your staff and you're wondering whether you're going to be left standing at the end of this thing. You need to be a person of faith and you need to say this, I shall not die, but I shall live. I'm going to make it through this. Now, we don't know all of the details about that, but I think in the long run, we need to think, positively, and we need to think by faith. We're going to make it through. Verse 19 is, again, a return to the prayer. Open to me the gates of righteousness that I might enter through them. Listen, this has application in the modern sense, even though it has a context in the Old Testament, in the time of David. But to ask God to open the gates to you may have a spiritual implication as well. I tell people all the time that the gate to the kingdom of God starts by opening your heart. God, open my heart that I may enter through them. Open your gates of heaven that I might enter through them. That's how salvation begins. We actually ask the Lord. There's a fancy terminology for this, but we talk about saving grace, where by God's grace, he opens the doors of salvation to us. Verse 21 says, I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. Now let's look at these next few verses, because these are very important. I thank you that you have become, that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For me, I start to see a sort of a messianic, a sort of a prophetic, a sort of salvation overtones here that speaks of what Jesus did for us. He was the stone that the builders rejected. He came to his own, but his own received him not. Verse 23, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Now, the trials that we're going through is not marvelous. These are heinous, very dangerous things that are going on outside. But, you know, in the tents of the righteousness, in the tents of righteous, the righteous, we need to be glad and realize that we're not alone, that God is our helper, and he is at our side. And finally, we get to this sort of conclusion, the last few verses of this psalm. Psalm 118, verse 25 says, save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Yehovah, Yeshua, no. Yehovah, no, tzalak. Save now, Lord. Save now, Lord. Or Lord, save now. Lord, now prosper. Now is time for you to act, Lord. Now, when I began this psalm, I may not have had faith enough to pray that. I don't think I would have had enough boldness to just sort of stand up, look to heaven, and say to God, God, act now. But in fact, as we read this psalm, what happens when you read the scriptures, your faith gets built up in something so simple. As one passage out of this Bible, you know, I have a thick Bible like many of you. It's a couple of inches thick maybe, and has little commentary and things. And yet we're only talking about less than one page out of that Bible. We can suddenly build our faith, talks to us about who God is, speaks to us how he's on our side, speaks to our condition, speaks to our emotions. It acknowledges that we're fearful. It acknowledges that we are in a battle. And yet, with two simple sentences, God, save now. God, now prosper. Now is time for you to act. Save me and get us out of this. I don't mean to be glib. I mean this with all seriousness. Lord, act quickly. Verse 26, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. This is what throngs of people sang and proclaimed about Jesus as he walked into Jerusalem, as he rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Verse 27 continues, it says, the Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. This has lots of meaning to the believer. In Psalm 118, it says, for it is you who lights my lamp. The Lord God lightens my darkness. Is the Lord lighting your darkness today? Are you able to be a light for someone else? Psalm 97 verse 11 says, light is sown for the righteous and joy for the upright in heart. Listen, there are going to be times, and there are people now who are blaming God for this and that, and yet it says here that light is sown. It is sown not like a needle and thread sown. It is sown like a seed is planted. Light is planted for the righteous, and joy can actually come into your heart. You might pray with someone. You might have experienced this. Sometimes you'll pray for someone or someone will pray for you, and almost immediately there'll be a sort of a lifting of the burden, just expressing yourself. Maybe you've had to speak to somebody. You've gone through some troubles in your life, and maybe you spoke to someone and you no sooner got it off your chest that you felt like a burden was lifted. Well, it's the same thing with the things of God. Light gets sown into the heart, and as a result, there's a joy that comes up through it. In Esther, if you recall the story of Esther, Queen Esther, the Bible says that the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor in their house. They sort of overcame things, and then as a result, they celebrated, but there was light in their home. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen race, a chosen priesthood. In other words, race is in terms of ethnic group. The word ethnos has to do with just a sort of a... we're not talking about America here. We're not talking about, you know, Italy here. We're not talking about Africa here. We're not talking about where you came from. We're talking about that as a people. The people of God are an ethnic group. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, so that you might proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. So here's this idea that the Lord God, verse 27 of Psalm 118, the Lord has made His light to shine upon us. Finally, the psalm concludes with verses 28 and 29, you are my God, and I will give thanks to you. And it repeats, you are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His steadfast love endures forever. My dear friends, if you are listening to this, you've been listening to a brief devotional on Psalm 118. I just want to encourage you during this time that you can cry out to God and you can ask Him, Lord, save now. Lord, now prosper. Now grant success. Lord, now let there be a victory in all of this. Many of you have sort of a positive hope that this trial that our nation and the world is going through is going to pass. What we want to do though is we want to ensure that you have a good outlook and a faith that says, you know what, God is on my side and He's going to be working for me. God's doing something. We don't know what is happening, but we know that there'll be something good that comes of it. I'm watching people act in an absolutely heroic manner on behalf of their fellow man. I'm watching people come together, and you can be a part of that as well. I hope this was of encouraging to you. May God bless you. This is Pastor Bob at Christian Life Church. God bless you, and goodbye.